Tonight's Candidate Forum is made possible in part by the City Club of Chicago, Illinois' premier public affairs forum since 1903.
Good evening and welcome to Chicago Tonight. I'm Phil Ponce. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin and his Republican challenger Jim Oberweis tackle the issues in a one-hour candidate forum next on Chicago Tonight. Well, it's been a bruising campaign for the two candidates who want to represent Illinois in the United States Senate. From ISIS to Ebola, immigration to Obamacare, the IRS, and raising the minimum wage, the candidates are butting heads on a wide variety of issues. Tonight, the final face-to-face televised meeting between the two candidates before next week's election. Joining us are United States Senator Dick Durbin. He is seeking a fourth term in the Senate, and he holds the Senate's second highest position as the majority whip. And his Republican challenger, businessman and freshman Illinois State Senator Jim Oberweis. Also joining us in the studio are members and guests of the City Club of Chicago, which is helping to underwrite this forum. We also want to welcome those watching and listening to this forum on public television and radio stations across the state. You can find Chicago Tonight live streamed on our website, where you can participate in a live chat, and you can follow us on Twitter at WTTW and join the discussion by using the hashtag Chicago Tonight. We may use your tweet on the air. And finally, the rules of a formal debate do not apply here. This is a discussion of issues that we hope will help inform your vote, and we ask the candidates to avoid making speeches. Gentlemen, welcome to Chicago Tonight, and we appreciate participation in this forum. First of all, Senator Durbin, do you support a travel ban from Ebola-infected countries?
Phil, let me start by saying thanks for putting this together this evening, and thank heavens for public broadcasting. The travel ban issue I've raised with people in Washington, here is the challenge. We have to keep the movement of healthcare workers into West Africa very much on the front burner. This is the moment when we can stop this disease at its source. Closing the airports and borders of these countries will force the people, many infected people, out of these countries into adjoining countries. I do think we have to closely monitor the passengers who had some origin in West Africa, and I do believe that the suggestion by Governor Quinn that those who have been exposed, highly exposed to high-risk situations, should face a form of quarantine.
State Senator Oberweis, a travel ban?
Yes, I do. I think our government has a real responsibility to defend us not only against military challenges, but also against health challenges. My daughter is a nurse in the emergency room at the hospital in Aurora where we live, and it's her opinion that they have not yet been well enough trained to tackle such a situation. So I think whatever government can do to help protect us, it's very important. I'd rather err on the side of caution in this case.
A couple of other topics that are in the news that I'd like to get through. First of all, as you know, a private U.S. rocket exploded last night. The company has a contract with NASA to supply the International Space Station. Later, a Russian rocket successfully docked with the International Space Station. Should the United States be privatizing its space program, Jim Oberweis?
I think there are great opportunities for private initiative. I believe that in many cases the private sector is able to do that. And just because there was one rocket failure certainly shouldn't invalidate that program. When NASA was running it, we had a much more serious failure, as you're well aware.
Senator Durbin.
So there are basically two sources. The United Launch Agency, which is a merger of Boeing and Lockheed. They stopped competing with one another and became one agency, and the price went up dramatically. Now we have another competitor coming on the scene, SpaceX. SpaceX, of course, is run by Elon Musk, who is the man who invented the Tesla and so forth. We see competition ultimately leading us to a more economical and affordable and dependable rocket in the future. And secondly, I want to see the day when we no longer depend on Russian engines. We ought to be making, having an American competition and having American
engines. Because the engines on this rocket were made in Russia.
Well, and they've been trustworthy, but it's time for us to have a competition so that American companies have a chance to replace these Russian engines.
Goodness, we've started off something we're kind of agreeing on.
All right. Well,
that won't last long.
That's our fond expectation, Jim Moberg. Another topic that's in the news. Right now, the NFL enjoys an antitrust exemption, and at least one U.S. senator is proposing a bill that would require the NFL to reapply for their antitrust status every 5 years after undergoing congressional review. Do you support that effort in light of the domestic violence issues that the NFL is facing? Jim Oberweis.
I think that's something we certainly need to review and consider. It's not something, quite frankly, that I've spent a lot of time thinking about, but it's certainly an important issue, and we must do whatever we can to protect people. Obviously, concussions have become much more understood today than they were years ago, and I think it's important to review.
But given the government breaks that the NFL and the other major sports enjoy under federal law, Senator Durbin, does the NFL merit a little more scrutiny on this issue of domestic violence and the issue of concussions?
Of course, in both areas, and I'm a big fan, but I watch games differently today than I used to. I look at some of those heads hitting the ground, hitting other players, and I'm thinking, what is the cumulative impact on that human body? And we know, sadly, that the life expectancy of NFL players is lower than those of most other Americans. Here's the thing that's interesting, Phil. One of my colleagues, Maria Cantwell, and I might mention Cory Booker, discovered recently that we treat, under the tax code, different professional sports differently. For example, both the NFL and the National Hockey League are tax exempt. The National Basketball Association and Major League Baseball are not. Why? No one can explain why there's a difference, why
Probably
there's a
better
distinction.
Probably better lobbyists, wouldn't you say?
That's exactly the answer. You put your finger right on it. So when we step back and look at things like antitrust status and tax-exempt status, let's take a look at the big picture here.
Let's talk about some domestic issues. Jim Oberweis, you've said Obamacare is a disaster and fatally flawed, and that you would repeal and replace it. How is it fatally flawed?
Well, whenever you have something that requires the government solution as opposed to allowing competition in the private sector, I think that's a problem. When you have legislation that is so impactful to all Americans, that is done on a partisan basis with not one single vote from the opposition party, that creates a problem. If you'll remember, the senator on the floor of the United States Senate said, if you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan, and then added, I guarantee it. Obviously, his guarantee wasn't worth much in that particular case because many people haven't been allowed to keep their health care plan or their doctors.
So what would you replace it with?
I would like to see, there are some good parts of the bill. For instance, keeping young adults on parents' plan until age 26, I think, makes sense. Certainly some way to get past pre-existing conditions makes sense. But we need to bring down the overall cost of health care, such as by reducing frivolous lawsuits, by allowing purchase of insurance across state lines to have more competition, and also the reimportation of American-made drugs. I think those things can help reduce the cost of health care overall. I think we can provide a plan on a bipartisan basis that will cover more Americans at a lower cost to taxpayers.
Senator Durbin, how about the Senator Oberweis just alluded to the fact that you and the president made statements to the effect that if you like the health care plan that you have, you will be able to keep it. What do you say to people who feel betrayed by those statements?
It turns out that half the people in Illinois and across this country, by and large, receive their insurance through their place of employment, and there was little or no interruption in their coverage. My opponent in this race has called for ending that employer-based health insurance. I can't understand what he wants to replace it
with. That's not true.
Well, I've got the quote. You've said it in one of your previous campaigns. I'll bring it to your attention.
But how about those people who were not getting their insurance through their employers and did find that the insurance plan they had, they could no longer afford.
And you know why, Phil? Because the new insurance law said, as Mr. Oberweis has acknowledged, you can't write a policy that discriminates because you're a woman. You can't write a policy that discriminates because of a pre-existing condition. You can't put a lifetime limit on your policy. The things which many people are saying they like about Obamacare are the reasons that these policies were changed. Let's look at the positive side of it. 685,000 people in Illinois now have health insurance. A year later, we've reduced the uninsured ranks by one-third. And for the fifth straight year, we've seen a slowing in the rate of growth of health care cost. There is nothing more important when it comes to families, businesses, and our national debt than to see that trend continue. We can't stop it by saying, well, we're going to just repeal this. We'll think of something new. Let's move forward to make sure that whatever we do, we improve it.
Jim Oberweis.
Yes, I'd like to point out that the Washington Post, not exactly a conservative organization, gave Senator Durbin four Pinocchios for the comments that he made in public about how many people were signing up for this plan. We obviously couldn't believe him for that because they showed that that wasn't true. We couldn't believe what he said on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Why should we believe what he's saying now? I think the numbers that he's talking about people signing up are not accurate. And there are many people who have been moved into Medicaid. And there's a real question about whether that is ultimately going to be able to provide reasonable health care or whether the prices are low enough that people won't be able to go to their doctors.
Senator, one last comment before we move on.
These are the same people that if they're not in Medicaid are still going to show up sick. They're not going to get preventive care. And what happens? The hospitals treat them, the doctors treat them, and the rest of America pays for it. Now we brought over 400,000 people in Illinois under the protection of Medicaid. I've met them as I've traveled around this state. Some of them have never had health insurance in their lives, 62 years of age. Judy down in southern Illinois, she now has diabetes. She desperately needs this Medicaid coverage. Are you questioning that? And then 285,000 others who are now finding insurance through the insurance exchanges. These are positive developments across America. We've got to build on them, not just basically vote over and over again as they have in the House to repeal.
Jim Obross, I'll give you a chance to respond to what the senator just said.
Well, the senator is a very experienced politician, having been in Washington for 32 years. And has very good political answers. But when it comes to getting to the truth, sometimes there is a little gap there. I think it's important that we go back, we look at the problems with this, we have a plan that will cover more people at a lower cost to taxpayers, and most importantly, we do it on a bipartisan basis so that we have universal acceptance, or wide acceptance at least.
Another topic, gun attacks continue to make news. Jim Oberweiss, one measure that you would propose to stop gun violence, just one.
Absolutely. The most important thing we can do is to get the economy again growing at 4, 5, or 6% so that people have jobs. The problem is, and the reason so much of this violence is caused, is because kids get involved in gangs because they don't have any alternative. They don't have a job. And unfortunately, it's the policies of Senator Durbin that have created a terrible economic disaster. The average family in Illinois has lost $5,053 in annual income as a result of his policies. Think about that number. Average $5,053. That's huge. If we can do the right things to get our economy growing fast again, we'll create more jobs. And as we create more jobs, there'll be less demand for that violence.
Senator Durbin?
My policies? No, Jim. They happen to be the policies of President George W. Bush, which you endorsed. Tax cuts for wealthy people. The idea that somehow we could wage war and never pay for it. The notion that we could have programs that went unpaid for.
But how about the notion, the connection between more jobs, less gun violence? Is that a logical nexus?
I think it's an important consideration. It's a primary consideration to improve the economy, good paying jobs. But the reason he ducked your question on guns, Jim Oberweiss has the most extreme position on gun control of any major candidate in Illinois. He voted, one of 15 state senators, who voted against the idea of universal background checks in Illinois so we keep guns out of the hands of convicted felons and drug gangs, so that we keep them out of the hands of mentally unstable people. He was one of 15. Even Christine Redonio, the Republican Senate leader, voted for this bill. Jim Oberweiss voted no, and he won't say that he's for banning assault weapons. He says, you gotta prove to me that assault weapons are dangerous. Get out to the blue line and take a look at that train that was sprayed with an automatic weapon just 3 weeks ago here in Chicago.
Jim Oberweiss.
The senator is very, very good about shifting the attention from his failed economic policies. That is what we really need to fix. That is our real problem. And he's been in Washington for 32 years. He's very good at this political shifting of blame. He now wants to go back and blame George Bush for things that are happening today. Now, he's been in Washington for 32 years. The Democrats had total control of Congress and the presidency for 2 years in 2008, 2009, 2010. They haven't fixed those problems, and yet he wants to go back and blame George Bush, who's been out of Washington for 6 years.
Let's go to a question that we received via Twitter, and the question is, does Jim Oberweiss think that all Latinos have forgotten his anti-Latino campaign he previously ran? Jim Oberweiss, if the GOP wins the Senate, what are the chances for immigration reform?
I think the chances for immigration reform are much better if I'm elected to the Senate, because I believe that I have a reasonable middle-of-the-road policy. I strongly support immigration. I strongly support immigrants. All of us have immigrant ancestors. And the fact of the matter is, people who risk everything to come to this country typically are entrepreneurial type spirits, and I identify with those. I can tell you that I have gone to Ensenada, Mexico to help build homes for the homeless. I have helped Robert Renteria, who wrote a book called From the Barrio to the Boardroom. And when I first read that about 7 years ago, I thought, this is a great book. This is a path for kids to get out of the cycle of violence, to get out of being swallowed up in gangs. And it gives kids an understanding of how they can get away from that. And I bought thousands of those books, initially gave them to kids in Aurora. Robert Renteria came back to me about 6 months ago and asked if we would do the same thing for kids in Chicago.
Well,
and I said yes.
Let's get back to the issue of immigration reform. Senator Durbin, the prospects for immigration reform, if the Republicans take the Senate, as some people think could very well happen?
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't happen. But let's let's just face the reality here. We put together eight senators, four Democrats, four Republicans. Sitting across the table from me was John McCain, Marco Rubio, Lindsey Thomas, and Jeff Flake. Four conservative Republicans. We hammered out over 6 months a bipartisan comprehensive immigration bill. It beefed up border security to a level unheard of. It had a solid DREAM Act provision, the bill that I introduced years ago. We passed it in the Senate with 68 votes. It was supported by the Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO, and Mr. Oberweis still won't say that he supports it. I think it has a chance.
Do you support it? Would you support that bill, Mr. Oberweis?
Look, the Democrats had total control of the Congress in 2009 and 2010. If they wanted to pass immigration reform, they could have done so then, but obviously didn't. I believe the bill that he's talking about is dead. That's history. That's not going to happen.
Is it dead?
Of course not.
It's dead. They're not going to go back and vote on it this year. It's clear.
It's dead
We need a Republican Senate. If we have a Republican Senate, then we'll pass those bills. There are 380 bills sitting in the Senate that Harry Reid and Dick Durbin won't allow Congress to vote, won't allow the Senate to vote on. If we have a Republican Senate, we'll be able to vote on those bills, send them to the president, and then he can make a decision to sign those bills or veto those.
Senator Durbin.
Well, of course, Mr. Oberweis ignores that out of the 380 bills are 54 efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. You know, they were political efforts, and they didn't go in anywhere in the Senate. Here we had a bipartisan bill drawn up, as people ask us to do, with compromise, bipartisan, solve a problem. We got 68 votes in the Senate. He won't even support it today. He won't even answer your question, Phil. And it just brings to mind why you had this tweet sent your way. There is a memory of his past campaigns, and I acknowledge he said some things in past campaigns and has apologized. We all make mistakes, but he ought to be looking forward. We're a better country if we have a comprehensive immigration reform package and start acknowledging that there are many people living in this country today who can make us a stronger country and a stronger economy if given a path to legalization.
Jim Oberweis, you said that you've learned from past mistakes you've made on the campaign. What have you learned?
Well, I've learned that, unfortunately, in politics, unlike in business, the thing that really wins is having a lot of money, like the senator does, having received over $9 million in lobbyist and influential money, and having spent more than three times as much as I have on this campaign. And I learned that being a good, the ability to use political speak instead of telling the truth also happens to work very well. I think that's terrible. I think that's wrong. In business, we try to communicate clearly what we believe and try to get people working together instead of dividing and conquering.
Speaking of clearly, I want to ask you a series of questions and just give me a quick yes or no. And I'll begin with Senator Durbin. Should medical marijuana be legalized at the federal level?
Oh, good question. State level, for sure. I'll say yes on the federal level, too, as long as it's by prescription. If we're dealing with the chemical and medical marijuana and it's done by prescription, yes.
Jim Oberweis?
I voted in favor of the Illinois medical marijuana bill. I believe that it's good to have a year or two or three of experience with that, but my inclination would be to vote yes.
Jim Oberweis, should wealthier Social Security recipients not get an automatic cost of living increase?
I believe that's very reasonable, yes, to not get that. It's pretty clear that the Social Security system has a significant underfunded problem, and we need to address that, and sooner would be better than later.
Senator Durbin?
I agree.
All right. Senator Durbin, should taxpayer funds be used to build the Obama Presidential Library should it come to Illinois?
No, I think the library itself should be paid for with private funds. It's been the tradition in most cases. I can see some infrastructure support around it, but the library itself should be by private donation.
Jim Oberweis?
Senator, that's two things in a row we agreed on.
Okay, I'll mark that down. Yeah. Two things.
That may be it for the evening.
Senator Durbin, should gay marriage be a federal law?
Well, that was asked at a previous debate, and I see now we have 30 states that have moved toward marriage equality, and they have been upheld by federal courts under equal protection of the law. I see it moving toward a national trend. I have voted to end discrimination, but to impose marriage standards at the federal level would be a break in the law. I would see the states moving in that direction. I would not go so far as to say a federal law.
Jim Oberweis?
I believe in traditional marriage, that it's between a man and a woman, but courts have been ruling pretty much unanimously that that we're going in that direction. I think that's an issue that's been pretty well resolved by the courts. I do support states making that decision.
And yet, you voted against the Marriage Equality Act, and you were a leader in removing former Republican Party of Illinois Chairman Pat Brady because he supported gay marriage.
No, stop right there. That's not true.
You were not involved in the effort to remove Pat Brady?
Absolutely I was. But the reason was that he had publicly supported positions that were against the Illinois platform. Now, if you had the CEO of an organization, he must either get the objectives of the organization changed or support those organization positions, or at least be quiet about
them.
Okay,
let's forget about the Pat Brady issue. Yep. You voted against the Marriage Equality Act. Do you regret that?
No, I don't.
All right, let's move on. Regarding student debt, one can refinance one's mortgage. Jim Oberweis, should student loans be able to be refinanced in the same way?
I think it is shameful that the senator's policies are charging students 6.8% when in fact mortgage rates are available today at 4%. Clearly, the government is making a large profit on that. Those rates should be brought down. But most importantly, we need to get the economy growing again so that kids have good jobs once they graduate from colleges and universities so that they can pay back not just interest but principal as well.
Senator Durbin.
He just ducked your question again.
And, not at all.
And apparently he
is no
against,
ducking the question. I was very clear.
He apparently is against refinancing college loans. I'm in favor of it.
Are you against refinancing college loans?
I already said I am not against favor refinancing.
So here's what
Once again, he attempts to twist my words.
No, I'm not going to twist these words. You said 6.8%. The actual interest rate is 3.86%. It was agreed to on a bipartisan basis in the Senate so that we would have undergraduate loans at a lower level. What we're trying to do is to give those who've already graduated and have undergraduate debt the opportunity to renegotiate down to that level from 6, 7, and 8%.
We have another question via Twitter, and let's take a look at what that is. Where do the candidates stand on raising the minimum wage? Jim Oberweis? I know you've been asked this before, but restate where you stand.
Sure. I think it's important that the market has an opportunity to pay higher than minimum wage rates. That, again, goes back to our economy. If we get our economy growing, we have more demand for labor. More demand for labor means the price of labor goes up. But Senator Durbin's policies would cost us, according to the Congressional Budget Office, up to 1 million jobs. Now, if you happen to be somebody who's lost their job, Senator, how do you explain that to the family? How do you explain that to an individual that he no longer has a job thanks to your policies? I absolutely believe there are ways around that. I proposed a bill in Springfield that would increase the minimum wage above a certain age, but allow younger entry-level workers who are starting in the employment area to get a job. Senator Durbin's proposal would kill it. Now, he said last week that, well, he just doesn't believe the Congressional Budget Office numbers. And if he doesn't believe the Congressional Budget Office's numbers, why does he think he has a better opinion than they do? A nonpartisan group, by the way. And if so, then, Senator, why not make it $50 an hour or $100 an hour if it doesn't matter?
Senator Durbin, as a matter of fact, we looked on the CBO website, and they say that raising the minimum wage to the point that you'd like to could conceivably cost up to 1 million jobs. Why do you not believe it?
They say 900,000 people in America would come out of poverty, too. I would just say it defies common sense. In my estimation, first let me tell you, his notion of saying that you can't get an increase in the minimum wage until you reach the age of 26 is the single worst idea.
Not what I said.
Single worst, I've read your bill. The single worst idea when it comes to minimum wage. It prohibits local units of government from raising the minimum wage for those under the age of 26. I just met today, I was up in Brad Schneider's 10th Congressional District with two young students from College of Lake County. They couldn't believe it. When I said, he really says that you, as a working student, trying to avoid debt, won't get an increase in minimum wage, said, what is he thinking? He ought to meet some of these students.
How about that, Jim Oberweis? My understanding was that you believe in raising the minimum wage for people over the age of 26. Did I misunderstand that?
No, that's correct. But that doesn't mean that somebody under 26 couldn't earn above the minimum wage, and that's what the senator's trying to say, which is complete, utter nonsense. As I said, my belief is we've got to get the economy growing again so that there's more demand, so that people do earn above the minimum wage. But don't prevent young kids from getting jobs and entering the working force, gaining those skills so that they can move on. Look, minimum wage jobs are not meant to be jobs for family leaders who are going to then feed their family. They're meant to be beginning skill learning jobs that they can go on then to get a better job. And the senator would kill those jobs and prevent people from having that opportunity.
My opponent's got to get out of the ice cream store and meet people working for minimum wage. He's got to meet single moms who are trying to raise a baby on the minimum wage. He's got to meet these students who are trying to avoid college debt. And he says, well, they can always be paid more. The object in the law is to make sure they can't be paid less. That's what it's about. And he says if you're under the age of 26, you can be paid less.
You can be. You don't have to be. That's the whole point. The senator was trying to say that you have to be paid less, which is totally false. Again, political speak from the senator.
Jim Oberweis, you've been quoted as calling your opponent a bully who threatens to use government power against private individuals. Give me an example.
I'll start with the IRS. He attempted to use the IRS to intimidate political opponents and, above all, call on the IRS to investigate conservative organizations. Secondly, he's attempted to use the FCC, or threatened to have the FCC review the license of a Quincy radio station who was running an ad that he didn't particularly like. He threatened with the case of ALEC, which is an organization that helps provide similar legislation across different state groups. He went to corporations to discourage them from making contributions to ALEC.
Okay, let's get a quick response. IRS, FCC, and ALEC.
Wow. So the IRS is Jim Oberweis's attempt to protect Karl Rove and Crossroads GPS and these other 501c4s that are trying to skirt the law, both on the right and the left, and be tax exempt, collect money, spend massive amounts on campaigns in a secret way. I'm opposed to it, whether it's a Democratic or a Republican organization, and that's why I sent a letter to the IRS and asked them to look into both. I mentioned Karl Rove, sure. He was the biggest by far.
And FCC and ALEC, real quickly.
It's interesting. If you want to put an ad on the air, the FCC can review its accuracy. You've had several thrown off the air in your previous campaigns because they weren't accurate. I asked the accuracy of an ad that a super PAC was putting on for him be questioned, and I still think they were wrong. They allowed them to run it anyway.
Okay, well, let's get a quick response from Jim Oberweis.
What the senator did with the IRS to threaten and intimidate people was absolutely wrong when Richard Nixon attempted to do the same thing. It's equally wrong when Richard Durbin does the same thing. A lot of people are concerned about the IRS. If you send me to Washington, I will make sure that we get a real investigation as to what actually happened. You know, Lois Lerner has taken the Fifth Amendment. We know there.
And she is, remind the audience.
The head of the IRS. And we had asked Senator Durbin for what other correspondence Senator had after that infamous 2010 letter. And he claimed none, except that then we found a further correspondence that had occurred
found,
in
Jim.
The House.
Jim, tell him what you found.
We found further correspondence from the senator's office to the IRS.
Come on, tell
regarding
him.
It was an email that was sent
and
to
was
the
an email?
IRS.
What was an email?
The point is, Senator, you lied about whether or not you had sent further correspondence. We'd like to know what additional correspondence there is.
Senator Durbin.
The email contained my letter, the same letter, and the press release. It was sent to the IRS, period. He waved this at the Chicago Tribune, the smoking gun we've been waiting for. There was nothing there.
Senator Durbin, your opponent has accused you of bullying Walgreens to keep its headquarters in the United States by shaming them. Bullying?
Well, I don't think it's bullying. And I think any senator from the state of Illinois that doesn't fight to keep businesses and jobs in this state and in this country has no backbone. And I also think that when I was raised on the playgrounds of East St. Louis, Illinois, a bully picked on little kids. I go after the big dogs. And when they try to take jobs out of this state, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them. Guess what happened? I ended up getting from the village of Deerfield and their president a resolution commending me for keeping Walgreens in Deerfield. So he thinks that's bullying? They didn't think so in the village of Deerfield.
Jim Oberweis?
Nobody wants to keep businesses in Illinois more than I do. Nobody wants to keep businesses in the United States more than I do. However, what you have to do is do it on a want to be here basis instead of bullying them, threatening them, and offering to create fines for them if they leave. The problem is bullying like that works in the short run. As he just said, it worked. It kept them here. But the problem is it puts American companies at a competitive disadvantage on a worldwide basis. What we need to do is do the right thing. That's simplify our tax code, bring corporate rates down so that we're competitive with the rest of the world, so that companies want to stay here, and so that American companies can buy foreign companies instead of putting us at a disadvantage so that foreign companies can buy American companies more easily.
Senator Durbin, are American corporations paying their fair share of taxes?
Most of them are, and most medium and smaller sized corporations are paying more than their fair share. Here's the problem. My opponent, people like him, march out hat in hand, make their annual pilgrimage out to Grover Norquist in Washington to sign solemnly a pledge which is put on the wall and displayed. And the pledge says, if I am elected, I promise I will never, ever, ever increase taxes.
Jim Oberweis, did you sign that pledge?
Absolutely. But what the pledge says is that we will work to lower taxes, that we won't sign.
That isn't what it says. We won't encourage
legislation that increases taxes. It does allow one tax decrease if it's offset by spending increase or other tax increase that is offset by a further tax decrease so that it stays level. The burden that citizens have in the United States paying those taxes is already high enough. That's one of the reasons that our economy is having the slowest economic recovery that we've had in my lifetime or the senator's lifetime.
Senator Durbin.
This pledge, this Grover Norquist pledge, is killing us when it comes to tax code reform. Republicans, like my opponent, scared to death. Norquist is going to turn on them in the primary, run a Tea Party Republican, like my opponent, against them in the primary. And so they won't sit down and work on tax code reform. I've got a lot of Republicans I've sat down and talked to who said, you know, we're going to face a primary if we sit down and talk about changing the tax code. It's because of these pledges. The pledge I make is to the voters of the state. It isn't a Grover Norquist. He doesn't vote in Illinois.
Jim Oberweis, he said you were a Tea Party Republican. What do you consider yourself?
I consider myself a person who will represent the people of Illinois, who will listen to the other side and work together to solve legislative problems.
Now, and what is your relationship with the Tea Party? How would you describe it?
I've never been a member. I have visited certain organizations and I've spoken to organizations. Understand what these people are. These are middle class Americans, Republicans and Democrats, who believe that government has overreached, that taxes are too high, and that government regulation, government interference in their lives is too high. These are people who've generally not been involved in politics before, who are upset with the policies that Dick Durbin has put into place, and now he's upset with them because they're revolting against the policies that he's put in place. By the way, the founders of our country were Tea Partiers. If you remember Boston Harbor, they were concerned about no taxation without representation. That's how it got started. Pat Quinn, for heaven's sakes, was a Tea Partier.
Senator Durbin.
I don't think so, Jim. So it was April 16th.
You've been around long enough that you should remember his campaign to send tea bags to representatives.
That's a lot different than the gang you're hanging with. April 16th, the Daily Herald does a story. It reflects on the tax day rally of the Tea Party in Crystal Lake. 250 people and Jim Oberweis. And he was quoted as saying, I want you to take over the Illinois Republican Party. This is a group he has an acquaintance with. He was calling on them to take over the party. And just in case, for the record, they put on their website the photo that when you went to their golf day the year before in your golf cart, giving away ice cream to Tea Party golfers. I mean, this is not a casual acquaintance.
Jim Oberweis.
Sure. Let's explain what that comment was, because the senator has misrepresented. He knows better, but he still, you know, this political speak, he'll say anything to get a vote, whether it's true or not. The fact of the matter is, people were complaining about the fact that they felt not represented by the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, and that people weren't listening to them. And my statement was, hey, if you're not being represented by your party, get involved. Become a precinct committeeman. Take over the party. It doesn't matter if it's Republican, Democrat Party.
There we go.
Get involved.
That's what I'm saying.
Fight to solve. It's much easier to criticize than to get involved and do. I'm suggesting they should get involved and do.
We have another Twitter question. Let's see what that is. And the question is, tort law protects the public from dangerously defective products and services. Should these laws be changed? Why or why not? Jim Oberweis.
I don't know why we'd want to change them. Certainly we want to protect people against serious defects of any nature. But in some cases, particularly in the medical area, we've created an atmosphere of absolutely ridiculous lawsuits that is driving up our cost of health care. There should be some limits on those something like, for example, $500,000 over and above actual damages. If somebody has suffered a damage, they ought to be fully compensated for all those damages and something above that, but not the huge awards that are sometimes issued.
Senator Durbin.
I don't accept that. I've represented clients, victims of personal injury lawsuits, even victims of medical malpractice. And what he's basically said is we're going to close the door or limit what you can recover when it comes to pain, suffering, scarring, disfigurement. You ought to see some of these cases before you generalize and say they shouldn't be able to recover. These courtroom doors need to be kept open for people to have access to justice.
Let's go with some other quick hits. And again, yes or no questions. Jim Overwise, do you support drilling for oil in Lake Michigan?
That's out of the clear blue. I'm not aware that there is any oil under Lake Michigan.
Or natural gas.
Look, I generally will believe that we need to do the right things to bring down our energy costs so that we're no longer dependent on Middle Eastern oil. We can do that. The first thing we ought to be doing is approving the Keystone Pipeline so that we can help America become energy independent, so that we can perhaps even become a supplier to the rest of the world.
But closer to home, if resources were found in Lake Michigan, would you support drilling in Lake Michigan?
Phil, that's something I'd have to consider. I'm not aware that's even been a likelihood.
Senator Durbin?
Is it appropriate to say hell no? So I'll just say no.
All right. Senator Durbin, support wind farms on Lake Michigan. There is wind on Lake Michigan.
Now that is the second question and a good question. At this point, I'd say no. I'm open to somebody making a case. I've been told that wind farms on lakes and bodies of water have an impact on aquatic life. And before I'd come out and say unequivocally, as I did with drilling for oil and gas, I really need to study it a little more.
Jim Overwise?
I'd say we're pretty close to agreement on that. I'd like more information, like to understand what the ecological risks of that might be.
Would you support, Jim Overwise, the expansion of fracking in Illinois?
I was actually one of the sponsors of the fracking bill that passed the Illinois legislature. I believe that's a good example where we can create lots of Illinois jobs. Illinois could actually become the third or fourth or fifth largest oil producer in the country. If we look at what's happened in the Dakotas, as they have allowed that, they've become major oil producers. Wages have gone up dramatically. Taxes have gone down, and they've been very successful. Illinois has an opportunity to become a major producer. Illinois has been very cautious about issuing the rules under which fracking will be allowed. I think we need to do whatever we can to protect the environment to make sure it's safe, but certainly there are ways to do it that are safe.
Senator Durbin, expansion of fracking?
I've asked the last two Secretaries of Energy, Secretary Chu was a Nobel Prize laureate, and the current Secretary, about this issue. Again, I'm not an expert. What they said was, if it's a reliable company, well regulated by state law, they thought it was all right to go ahead. The state regulations, as I understand it, are going to come out after this election. Let's assume that they're going to be solid regulations, the best in the nation. Let's take that. Yes, I would support fracking, but I would draw a line. I certainly don't want to see it done in Lake Michigan. I would have real qualms about Shawnee National Forest and other sensitive areas. But in terms of fracking in general, under those conditions, well regulated, yes, I support it.
Senator Durbin, do you believe climate change is caused by humans?
Absolutely. And it's just amazing to me that the science is so overwhelming in this, and it's become so partisan. It used to be a bipartisan effort to try to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Look what's going on around the world.
Senator, State Senator Overwise, do you believe climate change is caused by humans?
I think there is evidence of that. The question is how much, and I want to get a better understanding before we totally destroy our economy with huge, overwhelming regulations. Now, some years ago, people were talking about global warming and expected the temperature to keep on going up. The evidence is that for the last 18 years, there has been no increase in temperatures, and I think that's calling some of the research into question. So, look, nobody wants to. I'm running for the Senate seat because I'm concerned about our country in the future. I'm concerned about what we leave to future generations, and I will do everything I can to make sure that we leave a better country and a better economy to the next generation.
Senator Durbin, you were shaking your head.
It's incredible. That's exactly why we're stalled. We have overwhelming evidence from the scientists in terms of what's going on to our planet, what's taking place in our planet, the melting of glaciers, the change in weather patterns, more extreme weather. We've seen it in Chicago and all across Illinois. And if we don't wake up on a bipartisan basis and get it together and start dealing with this issue, think of the earth we're leaving to our children. We've got to step up and acknowledge this scientific fact and do something about it.
Man, the senator's been spending too much time in Washington, D.C. if he thinks we had in Chicago global warming last winter was like one of the coldest winters on record.
Well, he doesn't understand the impact of climate change because it leads to to extreme weather. And if you don't see extreme weather in the tornadoes that have come our way, in the weather patterns heading our way, then you're missing the boat.
Actually, Phil, that's not even true. The weather patterns have not been any more extreme than they have on average historically. And they're now changing from global warming to climate change. The reason they're doing that is because the facts haven't justified the idea of global warming. And the senator, again, is very good at shifting the emphasis.
Let's move on to foreign affairs. Jim Oberweis, what or who informs your views on foreign policy?
Well, I certainly watch a lot of different services. I listen to a variety of different news sources.
In terms of personal travel?
I've traveled a lot around the entire world, been to every continent, and except for Antarctica, and many countries, not only in Europe, but Africa and Asia as well. I also read regularly from cover to cover several magazines and newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, and Fortune, for some examples.
Senator Durbin, what informs your view on foreign policy?
Well, I try to read a lot, and there's a lot to read. I went to the School of Foreign Service years ago and got this appetite for foreign policy, and I've tried to keep up with it over the years. I'm lucky, serving on the Foreign Relations Committee, to have good staff briefings and to meet some of the players in many of these countries around the world. But it's a chore, and you need to keep up with it. It's a changing scene. I also think it's important to put a historical perspective on what we are witnessing, for example, in the Middle East. It really gives you pause. You wonder why some politicians want to rush in and let's invade another country. If they had some context in terms of history, it'd be a lot easier to come to, a stronger and a better conclusion.
Senator, is ISIS more dangerous than Al-Qaeda?
I think at this moment, yes. And I'd say only because they're much different. Al-Qaeda is a hit-and-miss operation. It's a bomb in a marketplace, and they disappear into the night. ISIS is different. ISIS occupies territory. ISIS takes over cities. ISIS has oil and gas resources. ISIS is an international traitor, bringing in millions of dollars to sustain their territory, and they are ruthless, savage individuals. So I think we need to take them as seriously, if not more seriously, than Al-Qaeda.
Jim Oberweis, my understanding is that you support troops on the ground to fight ISIS. State your case.
Well, first of all, I think had we left some troops in Iraq a year ago, we wouldn't have quite the same threat that we have today. I do support now what the president is doing in terms of the bombing raids that we have going and some training of moderate Syrians. However, I think he has made a strategic error when he has said to the enemy that we will not send ground forces in. And the evidence that we're starting to see now is just bombing won't stop them, so that there will have to be some type of ground forces. I don't believe America is ready to do that at this point, but telling the enemy that you're not going to do it is the wrong thing to do. I hope that we can get troops from Turkey or Saudi Arabia or other countries to do that work, but somebody's going to have to do that work. If ISIS is successful at terrorist acts here in the United States, I think that mood will change. If we can't get anybody else to go in there and do it,
Senator, do you agree with that? If there were an attack in the United States, and it could be traced to ISIS, you think the mood would change in favor of American troops on the ground?
Well, that's a lot of hypotheticals, Phil. Let me just bring it down to the specifics. I talked about a sense of history, recent history, when there were those, like my opponent at the time, who said, let's invade Iraq. I voted against it. He said he would have voted for it. 4,476 brave Americans lost their lives there. 30,000 came home seriously injured. We added $1 trillion to our national debt. We spent more money there than we ever imagined we would, and we stayed for 8 years. And then in Afghanistan, the longest war in our history. What the president's doing now makes sense, because he said we have to rely on people in the region, Arabs, Muslims, and regional powers that'll come forward to bring stability to the region. This notion of sending in the American troops in some rotational basis at the drop of a hat, I am not for that. We have 900,000 members of the Iraqi army. We should be there training, equipping, making certain they have aerial and intelligence support for them to defend their own country.
Jim Oberweis, the administration is said to be furious with Israel for continuing to build settlements. Should Israel stop?
Phil, we need to remember that Israel is the one sure democracy in that part of the world. Israel has been the one country that has been our consistent partner, our consistent friend, and consistent supporter. I think we need to do what we can to support Israel. Having said that, I believe that there's also a necessity and a potential for a Palestinian state, But I don't believe that the United States can impose its will on that part of the world.
Is building settlements helpful to the peace process?
I don't think it's helpful to the peace process. I think we want to encourage Israel and the Palestinians to negotiate a settlement, and that's very difficult to do. Obviously, we've been trying to do it for 20 and 30 years, and it hasn't happened.
Senator Durbin?
The biggest problem with the Palestinians, they're divided. In Gaza, of course, Hamas really dominates the scene. And then when you head up to the West Bank, you're dealing with Fatah and Mahmoud Abbas, and two different factions in the Palestinian front in terms of their future. We are indispensable to peace between Israel and the Palestinians, and we have to play a major part of it. And I'll agree with my opponent again. I think Israel has to take care that they don't push the settlement policy so far that the Palestinians think there is no reason to go to the table. We've got to find that
right moment. In the
view of
many Palestinians, that's already happened.
Well, it's true, and they're very critical of it. In the end of the day, I do believe we need a two-state solution. We need sovereign states in Israel, whom I'm proud to have supported throughout my career, and a sovereign state among the Palestinians, recognizing one another and pledging that there won't be any military action against the other.
Senator Durbin, we once had a Muslim guest on our show who said that not all Muslims are terrorists, but unfortunately in recent years, all terrorists had been Muslim. In your view, what is fueling this terrorism?
Well, this is a good question. It only goes back 14 centuries. It goes back to the division.
I think we have 14 minutes.
Well, it goes back to a division within the Muslim faith about the true successors to the Prophet. And it's a battle that rages from time to time. It strikes me, if you go back to 78, the deposition of the Shah of Iran, we saw at that point the emergence of extreme Islam. We also saw at that point the challenge to governments in the Middle East, and then the challenge to boundaries drawn by colonial powers 50, 60, 70 years ago. That process through Arab Spring and other developments continues. So I certainly believe it is wrong to categorize all people of the Muslim religion in one way or the other. I have many, many Muslim American friends who are the most patriotic people I know.
Jim Oberweis, quick response.
Senator, spoken so long and lobbied so long on this issue, I don't even remember the question. Would you mind repeating?
Oh, the question had to do with, what do you think is the source of terrorism? What is the animus? What is motivating the animus against the United States?
I think clearly there are some extremists who are using that as an issue to help their own position, to gain more power, and to lead in a direction that I think are very wrong. There certainly are some who believe that they can bring back the caliphate, who can return the world to where we were hundreds or thousand years ago. I don't think that's a majority of Muslims by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's a small group, but they've been a very, very potent group.
And we have another question from Twitter, and that question is, let's take a look at it. Jim Oberweis, where does Jim live, Florida or Illinois? Also, is Dick a supporter of term limits? State Senator Oberweis, clear up the Florida questions. Florida has no personal income tax, no estate or inheritance taxes, and no taxes on investments. Your second wife files taxes there. Does she live there?
She lives there 6 months a year, yes. And we have gone over this. I get no tax breaks whatsoever from the fact that she lives there. The only tax difference is that there's a difference in the real estate tax. And she claims a homestead exemption there. Therefore, I'm not allowed to claim a homestead exemption in Illinois, which means I pay more taxes in Illinois than I would otherwise.
But she gets a tax break by declaring for.
She does.
She also declared a property tax exemption on the condo the two of you bought together in Florida, declaring
not
it her.
Also, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. She has declared it her principal residence. So is that your wife's permanent legal residence in Florida?
Yes, it is. And it has been for 3 or 4 years.
That means she can't vote in Illinois. She cannot vote for you.
It's a shame, but it's true.
Where is your permanent legal residence?
My permanent legal residence is and always has been here in Illinois in the Aurora area. In fact, I've lived in the same home for 37 years.
That doesn't necessarily establish one's legal residence.
It is my legal residence. It has been my legal residence for 37 years.
Senator Durbin, you're shaking your head.
He'll be a first if he ends up being the senator to have a declared residence in Illinois, but no permanent residency for tax purposes. I still don't get it.
Stop. Senator. You know better than
excuse
that.
Excuse me, Jim.
It has been my residence
Jim,
for 37 years. It still is. There has never been a time that Illinois, and no time in the last 37 years, that home has not been my permanent residence.
I gave you plenty of time to try to explain this again because it just doesn't make sense.
You just don't get it.
He just said,
you don't want
what
to
I don't get,
it. Get
is why you would make a permanent residence in Florida pay higher taxes. And that's what you're arguing now. Before, with the Sun-Times, you said you went there for tax advantages. It just doesn't make sense.
Let's go with the let's look at that follow-up to that tweet question that had to do with whether you support term limits. Senator Durbin, you have been in Washington for 32 years. Is there a point when somebody should step back?
Yes, of course. And members of Congress have to make that decision, and then the voters make the ultimate decision. And the voters will decide whether 2 years is too long for a politician or 20 years isn't long enough. Those are the term limits that I follow and those I respect. I can't tell you how many of my colleagues did the showboat stunts assigning these term limits pledges when they're running in campaigns and then stuck around Washington for a few years and dreamed up some way to skirt away from them. I'm not going to do that. I oppose the term limit pledge that my opponent's taken.
Jim Oberweis.
It's very clear that when you have citizen legislators who, as the framers of our Constitution believed, who go to Washington or to Springfield to serve for a limited period of time, they will tend to vote in ways that they believe are good for our country and good for our state. When you have career politicians like Senator Durbin, who spent 32 years in Washington, they tend to lose contact with people in their home state. They tend to end up voting for it. The longer they're there, they vote for more and more taxes, more and more regulation, and unfortunately vote in ways that they believe are good for their own reelection instead of what is good for our country. That's why it is critical that we go back to what the framers of our Constitution believed. We should have only citizen legislators. And the idea that voters make a decision is a fallacious argument because of those who run for re-election, and incumbents have incredible advantages, and incumbents are re-elected about 95% of the time if they run. So it's not fair. They have big monetary advantages. They have publicity advantages. They have a staff to help. They have whole systems in place. It's not a fair match.
Senator Durbin.
Mr. Oberweis has run for the Senate 3 times, for the House of Representatives twice.
Makes my point. It's not a fair match.
For the governorship once, and now for state Senate. He's put over $12 million of his own money in this. He says that there's term limits written in the Constitution. Please give me a citation, if you will. I don't think you're going to find it. What the people who wrote the Constitution thought was that the voters ought to have the last word. That's the way I feel.
Senator Durbin, the Tribune reported that clients of your lobbyist's wife benefited from government funds. Is that a conflict for you?
No, it's not. My wife lives in Springfield, where she'll be voting from. And she has worked in Springfield as a lobbyist in the state legislature. We have been very careful to draw the firewall and say that she will not be engaged in any federal lobbying. They cited 2 examples over an 18-year period of time where 2 of her clients ended up getting some help from the federal government. I sat down and I had to make a conscious decision. Am I going to discriminate against Eastern Illinois University for a program to train teachers? Am I going to discriminate against veterans who are trying to go through smoking cessation clinics? I said, I'm going to help them. I think they're qualified.
I think it's pretty clear that there are those conflicts of interest when his wife is a lobbyist and he ends up voting on some in ways that help some of her clients. That is absolutely wrong. Look, the senator is sitting here saying, well, trust me, I'll make a good decision. The one thing that we've learned from everything that's happened in this campaign and that's happened over the last 10 or 20 years is we cannot trust him. We shouldn't trust him. This is a clear conflict, and he should certainly not be voting on bills that affect his wife's customers.
Jim Oberweis, you have a very high chess rating. You're very involved in chess. What move in chess do you find useful in politics? And mainly, what move in chess would you like to use in this campaign?
Well, I think there's a great deal of difference between the game of chess and politics. Chess is pretty much open. Chess is pretty much clear on the board, and you learn those moves. Now, I guess that would be perhaps the best example is you have to learn those moves. I want to say that I believe that based on politics, if there were a chess of politics, Senator Durbin would be a grandmaster.
Thank you.
Grandmaster Dick Durbin?
I don't play chess.
You don't play chess? I'm going to give you 15 seconds just to say what you want to say and then right back to Jim Oberweis.
Well, we certainly heard over and over again how long I've served in Washington. Let's remember that experience and an opportunity have meant that I've been able to bring federal resources back to this state. We have the highest return on federal money for transportation that we have in 15 years. We also have seen $2 billion invested in high-speed rail. Our mass transit systems are receiving these resources. I can walk around the state and tell you where my experience in Washington has delivered federal dollars to Illinois
Jim
for good paying jobs.
Real quickly,
jobs.
20 seconds.
Great politician. The fact of the matter is less dollars have come back to Illinois. Illinois has been a net donor state. The key here is Dick Durbin's been in Washington for 32 years. In the last 6 years that he's been there, the average Illinois family has lost $5,053. That's a huge sum. It's hurting our families, and we need to make a change.
And
this is our opportunity.
That's where we have to leave it. Senator Durbin, Jim Oberweis, thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, thank you to the City Club of Chicago for its support of all of our candidate forums, and to everyone who joined us on our website via Twitter and by tuning into public television and radio stations around the state. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Phil Ponce, and I thank you for watching. Good night. Audience, let's give a round of applause for our candidates.